fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Friday. Yes, it is Friday, the 9th day of December, year of Lord 2022. Welcome to the John Moore Show. And we do begin, I'm proud to say, every show with the Pledge of Allegiance. Everybody stand, face the flag. Gentlemen, remove your hats, right hand over the heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Preparative tip of the day is to work with your team, recreate with your team, and most important of all, pray with your team. Do you have a team? Really, do you? People you go to church with, have you been visiting their homes, or have they been invited to your home? If not, they're really not your friends. They're just very casual social acquaintances. Your team should be people you've known for years, preferably decades, people you would trust your life with, possibly related by blood and or marriage. And that's who your team should be, men and women that you've known a long time and you trust without any reservation whatsoever. Okay, typically Tom Berryhill calls in. He doesn't always call in exactly at the top of the hour, but when he does, we will bring him on board. And we'll be talking about emergency survival communication, ham radio, and related topics. Meantime, we'll have open lines at 512-248-8252. Dr. Huff was scheduled today. He had a conflict. Ruthie Andrews will be taking his place the second hour. Tucker Carlson has been doing an excellent job covering the breaking news about the documents being released by the people at Twitter, Elon Musk and company. This is a game changer. We've had belief based on some evidence, based on performance primarily, observations, that there was a lot of intentional blocking going on at Twitter of things that they didn't like. Now we have the evidence, hard evidence that could be used in court if it comes down to it, for either criminal prosecutions or civil matters, or both. evidence that the actions of Twitter demonstrably, provably, led to the deaths of tens of thousands of people. Not just political activism, not just influencing who did or who did not get elected, which they did that, of course, also. I'll be talking more about this probably off and on all morning. There's something called the Great Barrington Declaration. It was signed by the scientists and doctors in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, and signed by Dr. Martin Kulldorff, Dr. Sunetra Gupta, and Dr. J. Bhattacharya, I think is how he says it. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. That might be kind of lengthy and serve no purpose. You can read it yourself. However, the last paragraph. Now, this is October 4th, 2020. We'd been in lockdowns for months, going back to when the lockdowns began, February of 2020, something like that, maybe January, that had been devastating to people, our economy, to children, and so forth. Here's the last paragraph of the Great Barrington Declaration. Listen carefully. Those who are not vulnerable should immediately be allowed to resume life as normal. Now, I'm going to comment on this as we go through. Now, who's vulnerable to COVID-19? People who are obese, people who have heart issues and lung issues, people who are diabetic. That's who's vulnerable. Next sentence. Simple hygiene measures such as hand washing and staying home when sick should be practiced by everyone to reduce the herd immunity threshold. That means, well, we'll reach herd immunity quicker. That's the whole goal. And it makes just, it's just, if there's a communicable disease, hand washing and staying at home when you're sick makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Next sentence. Schools and universities should be open for in-person teaching. Well, obviously they should be. Schools and universities typically deal with people between 5 years old and 22 years old, graduate students, which is a tiny percentage, another couple of years older. Almost all of whom are the healthiest they will ever be their entire life, and certainly do not fit in the category of being vulnerable. Obviously, there could be obese students, there could be students with heart issues and lung issues and diabetic, and they should be protected. But that's a tiny percentage of students between 5 years old and 22 years old, a tiny, tiny percentage. Now, the instructors, once again, if the instructor is obese, has heart issues, lung issues, diabetic, then they should not be exposed to that situation. The rest of them, no big deal. Okay, next sentence. Extracurricular activities such as sports should be resumed. Of course they should. Of course they should. My youngest grandson and his football playing teammates in 2020 in high school, without the knowledge or consent of the school administrators, they were sneaking into the ball field, the football field, to do their own practice secretly, covertly. Later on, during this make-believe pandemic, they were wearing masks to the sporting events. Now, my youngest grandson is a wrestler. They had to wear the mask before they wrestled and wore the mask after they wrestled, and all the people in the spectators were wearing masks. I'm not sure about the referees offhand. How bizarre is that? I recall the one video where a mother was arrested. She was outside at a sporting event, sitting in these bleachers, and she was arrested for not wearing a mask. Very strange, very bizarre, and so wrong. Okay, next sentence. Young, low-risk adults should work normally rather than from home. Well, of course they should. Well, I would expand that to say any low-risk adult, not just young. Next sentence. Listen carefully. Restaurants and other businesses should be open. Tens of thousands of businesses around the country were destroyed, went bankrupt because of these needless lockdowns. Now, something they don't mention here, but I'll go ahead and mention it. I didn't believe it at first, but I looked it up, and it turns out it's true. This whole six-foot social distancing thing, did that come from the Mayo Clinic, from the CDC, the National Health Institute? No, it came from a 14-year-old high school freshman who wrote a term paper. Her father, who was with, I think, the National Institute of Health, I believe, read it and thought, oh, wouldn't this be great to implement nationwide? There's no science behind that. None at all. None at all. Next sentence. Arts, music, sport, and other cultural events should resume. Well, of course they should. Of course they should. I recall going to gun shows, and they wanted to point this laser thermometer at my forehead. I said, no, you're not going to point that thing at my forehead. Point it at my wrist. Okay, next sentence. People who are more at risk may participate if they wish, while society as a whole enjoys the protection conferred upon the vulnerable by those who have built up herd immunity. That's the last sentence. The governor of New York intentionally placed people actively sick with COVID-19 into nursing homes among the most vulnerable. That's a crime. That is, on the face of it, a crime. And he should be prosecuted, he should be sentenced, and he should spend the rest of his life in jail as a consequence of the crime that he ordered to be performed in New York State. That said, we do have patient waiting green on my friend Tom Berryhill. Tom began a quest more than a half a century ago to understand, comprehend, eventually become quite expert in anything and everything to do with ham radio, emergency communications, and electronics in general. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, John. Good morning.
Well, Tom, I was reading the last paragraph of the Great Barrington Declaration, signed in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, on the 4th day of October, 2020. We know a lot more now than we did then. However, these three professors, Dr. Koldorf, Dr. Gupta, and Dr. Bhattacharya, I'm not sure, there's a lot of letters in this guy's last name, they had it pretty close. And really, at the time, in October 2020, their advice was advice that, if followed, would have saved tens of millions of lives. Tens of thousands of lives, excuse me, saved tens of thousands of businesses, would have prevented permanent brain damage to children suffering from oxygen deprivation, which can't be, as far as I know, that can't be changed, Tom. Once a child has had brain damage due to oxygen deprivation, which is what happens, I'm not sure there's any way to mitigate that or change it. You just have to deal with it. And that results in about a 10-point IQ reduction is what that does. Now, for those who don't know, that may not sound like a big deal, but going from 110 to 100 means you may be, or from, let's say, 100 IQ to a 90 IQ, which is probably more accurate. Because I know some very successful people with 100 IQ. May mean the difference between owning the Ford dealership and being the janitor at the Ford dealership. That's what a 10-point drop in IQ can do, can it, Tom?
I guess so, John. I don't know. I've never talked to a janitor at a Ford dealership, but
you have to have a certain level of IQ to do certain jobs, obviously. At least obvious to me. But that's a side issue. The Great Barrington Declaration was made fun of, was declared to be fraudulent by high-level government officials all over the world because it flew in the face of what was being done all over the world. the harm of which I'm not sure we'll ever be able to measure the harm done to people and businesses all around the world. And it continues. I still see video coming out of Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, New York. Even locally, I see people wearing masks. You know, if you're sick, wearing a mask would help stop the spread of your illness. Don't go out in public. If you're sick, don't go out in public. Does that make sense, Tom?
Well, that's if I'm sick, I just stay home. I don't go anywhere. I don't know what other people do, but that's what I do.
Well, most people do that also. Now, I've worked while sick because that's just who I am, with, you know, a serious head cold. And in fact, one of the track meets I ran, I don't know if it was walking pneumonia or a really serious head cold, but two of my buddies caught me, and when I won the 100-yard dash, they caught me because I would have collapsed into the cinders otherwise, but I did win.
Whatever it takes to win, right?
That's right. That's one of the things you learn as an athlete. You learn to overcome adversity and work around pain and suffering, whatever it might be. You got a question or comment? Let's try to focus as much as we can on ham radio and emergency communications at 512-248-8252. Well, Tom, I'm getting mixed messages from different people. My friend Steve O'Neill, I don't know if you ever met Steve. He was local until a few years ago. He's now about two counties south of me working on his hobby farm. But he's convinced that nothing we can do will salvage our republic. And he's basically written off any peaceful resolution of what we're seeing. And I know a number of people who feel that way. And I can't find a way to disagree with them to the point where I would take the same action they are. I have to make note of what they're saying and agree that it's certainly a possibility that the republic can't be saved by the normal peaceful means that are at hand, on one hand. On the other, I have not given up. I have my preparations in place for a worst-case scenario, grid down, long-term crisis. But I still work to salvage the republic by peaceful means, using methods, traditions that we have at hand to do so. That's my choice. And I respect other people's choices as well. But when it comes to a grid down situation, you really want to have shortwave radio and ham radio capabilities both, don't you, Tom?
Yes, that's true, John. And that is a great way to communicate if all other means fail. You can always get through. And you can get through with very small pieces of equipment. You don't need a gigantic tower and these big, huge antenna arrays that you'll see at some ham radio stations. Those are not required for most communications. And you can't get through, especially with some of these new digital modes. They operate at such low power that in many cases you can communicate worldwide with less power than what it takes to run a flashlight. It's been done on numerous occasions, and it's... it is possible. So ham radio is a good resource to have it on hand when times are really, really bad.
Well, Tom, the communications NCO on my Special Forces A-team, he was so proud that he communicated with somebody in Italy with 5 watts using DX. He took great pride in his capability of being able to do that. And that would be a matter of pride to communicate with somebody, I think it's either 6 or 7 time zones away, at least 6 time zones away, with 5 watts, wouldn't it, Tom?
Oh, yeah, and that's done quite a bit. I did something similar in 1968, 2 watts of power, John, from St. Louis, Missouri to Manila, Philippines. But the sunspot cycle was one of the best we ever had.
We have a break. We have a caller on hold. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
John Moore's private consultations are the most comprehensive services available any place, anywhere in the world. They're available now and provide valuable knowledge and information that protects an individual, family, or group. We provide clarity, focus, and information for you and your associates for any situation. We have just the right knowledge, just the right information from just the right professionals. Schedule your consultation for your family or group now. Contact us at thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Once again, thelibertyman.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. This hour is sponsored by EMP Shield. You want the same equipment the Department of Defense uses for your car, your spouse's car, the car that youngster off to college, the exact same equipment with a $50 discount on each piece. You can get those at thelibertyman.com. Tom, our first caller here is Sherry in Kansas. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, John and Tom. John, you were talking about this Great Barrington Road deal and also the COVID stuff. And I still contend that there is a frequency component to this that is very hard to isolate because, you know, some people are more immune to it than others. But, you know, and just a little I've read, but that book by Arthur Furstenberg on the invisible rainbow, and he goes into the history of as more man-made frequency came online. But Tom, I'm interested, and I know that and it's, I'm guessing it's a power component, but there are some people that have, aren't there, that have worked at radio stations and ham operators that are, have gotten sick because they're vulnerable to frequency.
Well, yes, there's some truth to that. Yes, there is. And John, you remember the owner of Gateway Electronics, Stu, that passed away. He had leukemia, very, very bad form of leukemia. I don't remember exactly the name of the disease, but that's what took him. I think he was about 62 when that happened. And now he was around a lot of RF, not as much as some other ham radio operators, but he was. And some of these guys ran very high power levels. You know, John, when you get your ham radio license, that's one of the things that you have to certify, is that, I don't remember the exact words on the certification, but you have to guarantee the FCC that you've taken proper precautions if you're operating over a certain power level. I think it's 50 watts. Now, a lot of radio stations, commercial radio stations, and most of them have their antenna systems at a remote site, especially some of these huge AM stations, 50 kilowatts. The antenna site will be miles away, and the radiation drops off quite a bit. I mean, down to just regular levels, background levels, when you get to the studio. There's no high levels of RF at the studio itself. Now, ham operators, for the most part, don't have that, and they have their antennas close by, relatively close by. But many of them, when they have large antenna systems, they're operating in the HF bands, and I don't believe the penetration into tissue, your body's tissues and organs and so on, I don't think it's as great at those lower frequencies. You get up to the higher frequencies, that's where you have to really be more careful. And I will also tell you that when Motorola developed their 800 megahertz handy talkies or walkie talkies that the police were using, if they had a quarter wave antenna on there, that would have worked just fine. It would have been a very short antenna, maybe around an inch long, and it would have been right in front of the person talking into that radio. It'd be right in front of their eyes. And the biggest problem they were having with their early test was causing retina damage. And that was with a relatively low-power radio, maybe 4 or 5 watts. But it was the frequency of operation. When you get up around 800 megahertz, the penetration into tissue starts really becoming something you have to pay attention to. These cell phones are the same way. And I know several people, I'm convinced, passed on because of them having that cell phone up to their ear constantly. One woman that we knew years ago, she had a flip phone, and she was on that phone all day yakking with people. And I told her, my wife told her, you better, you know, get that phone away, put it on speakerphone or get a headset or something. Well, she never listened. She passed away at 59 years old with, I think it was 2 or maybe even 3 brain tumors right around her ear where she always held that phone. That was enough to make it obvious to me anyway that that's what caused her those tumors. And it's something that does have to be paid attention to. So there is some truth to this, Sherry.
Yeah, could I make one more statement after the break?
Hold on after the break here. We've got about an hour break. We'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
As I said to those who joined the government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. My website is thelibertyman.com. There's a lot there, things being added pretty much every day of the week. The new humor section is getting rave reviews, and it's a lot of fun. We need some humor in our lives. I would like to point out the video clips from a film that Lloyd Bridges did 30 years ago. Lloyd Bridges' character is President of the United States, and he's a fumbling, bumbling idiot, and looks like Joe Biden could be doing that, quite frankly. Let's see, what else is at the website you might be interested in? Well, here it is, Died Suddenly. Excellent documentary done by Stu Peters. I fully support people watching that. Right next to that, I am now active on Twitter. Just sent out a tweet this morning. If you follow me on Twitter, I will follow you. That's what I've been told to do, and that's in fact what I do. And of course, we'll be talking later in the hour about the Liberator rocket heaters, if Brady can be with us. And last but not least, the energy cleaner. We have the manufacturer with us, and he's promised a fresh batch any day now. He's gone on a remote assignment that may be delaying things a day or two. But if you're tired of being tired, if your arthritis pain has you down, and you want relief from both arthritis pain and not getting a great night's sleep, the energy cleaner is for you. Check out the details at my website at thelibertyman.com. Sherry, you got a follow-up question or comment?
Well, the Telecommunications Act of 1996 was passed, and I tried to find a cell tower that was being located just a half a mile to the west of me, and you can't even use possible health information to fight those. And that they passed that with a lot of bogus studies, and they've used that ever since, and that's what they're using to cite these 5G towers, too. And, you know, I don't think it's right, and I don't, you know, our Congress is so corrupt with their, that I don't know if we can ever fight them, but that's what's going on. So, all right, that's all I had. Bye.
Okay, thank you, Sherry. Call number is 512-248-8252. Well, Tom, the difference between the microwave frequency used to wreck food while it makes it hot and the frequencies put up by some of this ham equipment is not that far apart, is it?
Well, the microwaves operate around 2.6 gigahertz, 2,600 megahertz. I think that's the frequency range they're in, and that's an optimum frequency for tissue penetration. Now, there is a ham radio band up there. There's all, that's where, by the way, John, 2.4 gigahertz, or 2.45, that's where most of the, not all of them, but most of the Wi-Fi routers operate, wireless routers for your computer equipment. And also, there's some frequencies they use in the 5 gigahertz region. So the power levels are very low. I would not want to be right next to that antenna for long periods of time. But I also tell you, these cell phone towers, they're not as high of power as you would think. I think a lot of people think they're many kilowatts of power or something like that. They're really relatively low power. They use huge transmission lines to get the signal up there because of the attenuation in the transmission line. So that's why the cables going up to those antennas are so large. You need a huge transmission line to have the lower loss at those very, very high frequencies in the UHF frequencies and higher. I typically use it, and that's where a lot of ham operators make the mistake. They use RG8 or, you know, smaller coaxial lines that have a lot of loss. You lose so much just in that transmission line. So it gives the illusion that there's gigantic amounts of power going up to those antennas. Then it drops off dramatically. You have the near field radiation, which is in close to the antenna, but you get away from it and it drops off dramatically depending on the frequency range and, you know, the wavelength of the signal. But the thing is, if I had a cell phone tower on my property, personally, I wouldn't worry about it. That's me, though. A lot of people are scared to death of those things, and they could be right, depending on how close they are to it, what frequency range it's in, and so on. But for most installations, I wouldn't worry about it too much. It's when you're right up next to those antennas, and just ask the cops that would park those old-style radar guns in their lap while they're... Those were operated at 10,525 megahertz, and they were only maybe 10 thousandths of a watt or to 100 thousandths of a watt. 0.1 watts was the most powerful one I ever saw, but they ended up with some serious problems doing that. So you have to be close into these antennas to get some severe damage, but I wouldn't worry about the cell phone tower as much as I would about holding these phones up to your ear. To me, that's more dangerous. Now you're right in what's called the near field radiation, because you're right up next to that antenna, and a lot of these cell phones operate at some of those much higher frequencies, especially if you're in a metropolitan area. And out here in the sticks, most of them are in the lower cell bands, which are in the 800, 900 megahertz range. There are some at 1.8 gigahertz, 1,800 megahertz range. Some of them operate, but that's for the most part in the metropolitan areas. And we're probably a little safer out here, John.
Yes, absolutely. The nearest tower to me, I think, is, over the road, 5 miles away, maybe as your crow flies, maybe three and a half miles. So it's quite a distance from me. But, and that's the nature. And when you look at these maps showing cell phone covered nationwide, the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks has lots of blank spots, doesn't it, Tom?
Oh, yeah, really bad. But they're getting better all the time. There was a spot when I come to meet you, when we meet at the restaurant, there's a huge gap in coverage right in that one hop going down that road, the last hop on that trip. It's just totally dead. But now that's starting to work. It's starting to work in that area. So they must have put up additional equipment. A lot of the new cell phone systems, they don't even run transmission lines up to the antennas. They put the equipment right at the antenna. It's gotten so small, so much more compact, that they can actually put the transmitter and receiver right up at the antenna on the cell phone tower. And the only thing they have to run up to it are control lines, which are most likely in a conduit. And they just run the power and the control lines up there to actually control it, unless that's a wireless connection back down to the equipment shack. I don't know. I don't work on that type of stuff. I have worked on some cell phone systems, but it's been a long time, and that was the older analog units way back in the old days, 25 years or so ago. I worked on some couple of systems. That's been a while.
It's kind of amazing to me how quickly this very high-level technology has permeated the entire planet. I've mentioned this on the air before, but it's been probably a year or more. I was looking at a news coverage of 20 rebels arrested in Central Africa by the authorities. And Central Africa is still pretty remote in many ways. And so the arrested rebels, criminals, were sitting on the ground. They're all barefoot peasants. They got their hands tied behind their back. And there's two tables out in front of them, off to the side. One has a collection of the weapons collected from these criminals, which were Kalashnikovs and others. And the other had their cell phones. And at the time, I recall, this is 4 or 5 years ago, these guys had better phones than I did. And... And here they are, barefoot criminals in Central Africa, who probably never seen a flush toilet, it's amazing. It's amazing how quickly this technology went worldwide to some of the most remote areas of the planet. It's amazing to me. How about you, Tom?
Oh yeah, I agree. In fact, a lot of third world countries, they never had to be, bogged down with laying copper lines and worrying about keeping those lines, up to working conditions all the time, the maintenance required. They didn't have to worry about all that. And they just went with a wireless system from the start. That saved them a ton of money. You can put up a lot of those towers for a lot less than trenching and putting in all those copper lines. And just the maintenance that's required for the copper lines. You know, those copper lines are still out in my area, John, but they've trenched right alongside it and put in fiber optic. And the way the phones work now is they go on a VoIP circuit, a voice over internet protocol. And so the only copper wire is from the back of your house over to the nearest cabinet. And then it's on to fiber optic, and now they're starting to bring fiber optic right into some of the homes, directly into your home. So that's starting. They told me I could have that, but they're just not doing it out in the rural areas yet, although it's there. The fiber optic is there. You'll see them trenching, and they put in those orange, those big, large plastic orange tubes. That's what they run the fiber optic cable in. And then you have some serious internet speeds. And they put the telephone on there as well. And I'll tell you what, I know it's supposed to be an improvement, but it does not work as good as the copper line phone. I'm telling you, John, I don't think it works as good. Sometimes it's just, you try to make a call and there's just nothing there. It drops out. There's a lot of echo and things like that. I don't care for it. But
I understand. Tom, we got a caller on hold here. Let's take this caller. And before I forget, our favorite website to get started with ham radio is the ARRL.org. It's Alpha Romeo Romeo Lima.org website. The place, the only place, in my opinion, to get started with ham radio. And we have Amit in Massachusetts. Good morning, Amit.
Good morning, Mr. Moore, and good morning, Mr. Berryhill. I just had a curiosity about this mRNA vial or the liquid being put under some electrical characteristic study. I believe sometime last year, Mr. Berryhill mentioned that he would like to have access to the vial or the liquid to put it maybe under a network analyzer for studying its electrical characteristics. So could he do that? Could he get access to a vial or a little bit or maybe a couple of drops of that liquid to make it a DUT for a network analyzer? That's what my question is.
That's pretty interesting. I really thought about that, Amit, doing some testing.
Yes.
I have some microscopes here that would allow me to get a pretty good close-in look at that and then subject it to some various frequencies. I can generate the frequencies as well as watch what happens visually through a microscope, and then also look at some of the results. I have a spectrum analyzer mix as well to just see what's going on, and then subject it with discrete frequencies as well as wide band noise. I have there's a company called Noisecom. They make very, very high-end noise generators, white noise, and you can all the way up into the gigahertz range, and I have a couple of their units that I use for testing, and it'd be interesting to subject that to various wideband noise and then put some filters in there to then pull the noise into specific bands and just see what happens on a microscope.
Yes, sir. In the meantime, I think maybe over a couple of years, from a rumor, I think it has been quite well established that those with the clot shot, or I call it GMI, that is for genetic manipulation injection, people used to, at a rumor level, people used to emit the MAC addresses, that is Media Access Control Protocol addresses. But now it is fairly well established that they are indeed emitting it. So please do try to study them, because I think there are some electrical devices being formed just as a matter of that material being inside human bodies. So that's all I have to say.
Well, that's interesting and a good suggestion. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call, and that's all.
Okay, Amit, thank you. We appreciate it. Call number is 512-248-8252. Well, in the old days, and I think it was intentional, the knowledge of the Morse code was a blockage for probably most people who were looking in the ham radio. And those who got past it to move on, they learned a lot. But now it's no longer an issue, is it, Tom?
No, it's not. You don't have to learn Morse code. When I got into it, that's been over 55 years ago, they required that, and that was a stumbling block for most people that were getting into it. I had an incredibly difficult time learning that, John. I was pretty young, and I took my first ham test when I was 11 years old, but I failed it because I couldn't copy the 5 words a minute code. And then I was able to kept studying. I got a shortwave radio for my 13th birthday, and that allowed me to listen to the ham operators, and I heard the actual transmissions and code and all that, and And then my code speed picked up, and I took the test. And in June of 67, I took that test, and that's and then I passed, and that was all water under the bridge. Once I got on the air, my code speed came up pretty fast, and I in those days you got your first license was a novice license. You could take a higher level test if you wanted to, but most people came in at the novice level, and it was you could only use Morse code. That was it. Except on a 2-meter band, they did allow voice transmissions. But most everybody did Morse code, and then the license was only good for a year. It was non-renewable. So you either passed a higher class in a year, or you were out.
So hold that thought, Tom. We got our last break. We have our last break. We'll be right back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, and there I'm not forgot to look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning, look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Then I wish I was in Dixie, hooray, hooray. In Dixie's land I'll take my stand, live and die in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. Well, Tom, as usual, this hour flew by very quickly, and we got some great information out here. And as I like to point out, I get emails with photographs of men and women sent by men and women who, because of our discussions on Friday mornings, which has been going on for a number of years, they check out ham radio, they get involved, they get their ham radio license, they send me photographs of their ham shack, of their towers, their antennas, and they're as happy as can be, aren't they, Tom?
Yes, they are, John, and again, you don't have to learn Morse code anymore. I gave a rundown of what I had to go through to get into it, and that's all out the window, down the drain, long gone. Still use it if you want to. I do, but it's not required. And there's a tremendous interest in the digital modes. A lot of the younger people like the texting and all that with their phones, and so the digital modes on the ham radio system is very similar to texting or using a laptop, sending emails and so on. The important part to remember is there's no infrastructure in the way. If everything shuts down, you can still use that system from point to point because the infrastructure is made up of your radio equipment, your computer equipment, and antenna, and then the similar setup at the other end with the station you're communicating with, or stations. There's many of them on there. And they would have a tough time shutting that down. So you don't have to worry about cell phone towers. You know, there's no infrastructure other than the equipment that you set up. That is a very powerful thing to have your hands on in very bad times if we get down to that. And it's just something to keep in mind. So if you're interested, look into it. It's easier than ever to get into. You don't have to be any type of an electronics expert. You can get in with some basic knowledge, and it's very easy to gain that knowledge on various websites that will have study guides as well as the books and materials available from the American Radio Relay League, ARRL.org.
Well said, Tom. Well said. Well, thank you very much. I know you're on assignment out of town, that's delayed my getting energy cleaners. When do you think I might be getting them now?
Well, like I said, probably, maybe if I can, I'll get back early. But at worst case, it'd be late Sunday afternoon, and we can get together Sunday evening. Or there's a possibility, I just learned, that we might put off some of this maintenance work and might be able to leave much earlier. So I'll find out. I'll let you know as soon as, you know, if anything changes, John, I'll let you know. You'll be the first to know.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. All right. Well, thank you, Tom. Get back to work. As my grandson would say, get to work, Grandpa, get to work. And we'll be talking privately soon. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Okay, John.
Okay. Later. Top of the hour break. We'll be back with Ruthie Andrews. Stay tuned.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease Off LLC. Somersville, Missouri. 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.